A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. Jerusalem, during the reign of Henry V. Now, the First Crusade had success despite some atrocities, such as occur in almost every war, but now petty ambition and selfish backbiting threatened the kingdom of Jerusalem. It was only because the knights knew that unity was essential to their own survival that they came to each other's aid when necessary. Only Godfrey and Raymond showed true chivalrous honor, but Godfrey died in 1100, and in 1105, having been betrayed by Tancred, Raymond died. Raymond had been the most noble and virtuous of the knights of the crusade. Of the major knights, only he and Godfrey honored their word to the Eastern Emperor. He spared those Muslims who surrendered in battle and showed chivalry when those around him were butchering the innocent. Out of his own pockets, he paid money to ransom many of those who had been taken captive. Despite the wealth that he had at home, he never abandoned the Holy Land. Even when Tancred had kicked him out of Syria, and most notably of all, declined the offer to become king of Jerusalem out of respect for Christ. He was devout and pious. Had Raymond had more leadership ability, the Crusades might have had a different ending. But the two best knights of the Crusade, Godfrey and Raymond, died too soon. Of the great knights of the First Crusade, only Baldwin and Tancred remained. Tancred had some of Raymond's chivalry, but he had more of his uncle Bohemond's petty ambitions. He could be as ruthless and treacherous as he could be honorable. Baldwin, likewise, displayed similar traits. When his city surrendered to him, he treated them with the highest respect and honor, but to those that refused to surrender, he was merciless and cruel. It was intentional. He wanted his enemies to fear him and his allies to respect him. With what few people Baldwin had to aid him, he slowly took over the important cities, which still rested in Muslim hands. In 1103, the important seaport of Acre was taken. In 1105, the Egyptians failed in an attack on Palestine, but Baldwin also failed when he boldly attempted to invade Egyptian lands. In 1110, Tripoli and Sidon fell in the Latin hands, but Baldwin was never able to take Ashkelon or Tyre, both of which were vitally important cities. During these years, guerrilla warfare was common. As the Muslim Turks of Palestine were cut off from their allies, they could only hope to hold out in fortified cities and hit the Crusaders whenever possible. For their part, the Crusaders tried to make Palestine content with Latin rule. Religious tolerance was permitted for Muslims and Jews, and racial intermarriage became commonplace. Despite the fact that the Christians were hopelessly outnumbered by their Muslim enemies surrounding Palestine, the Crusaders' cause was helped by their seeming unity, although their personal squabbles and fights showed that their unity was only out of necessity. The Muslims warred openly amongst themselves. In the years before Baldwin's death, no fewer than a half a dozen Islamic rulers had fallen by exile, assassination, treachery, conspiracy, or other means. The assassins, the word for hashanshun of the hashish drug they used, became a prominent political tool to some of the powerful Islamic emirs. Among the Christians, there was certainly much fighting and backbiting, but they cooperated when they knew they had to. An example, however, of this type of infighting that did occur was the disposition of the patriarch Dambert, whom Baldwin despised for plotting a usurpation with Bohemond years earlier. Dambert was replaced by Arnulf, while Tancred had fought with Baldwin of Edessa, the king's cousin, who succeeded him in that region. In 1112, Tancred died of typhoid fever, though some speculated it was poison, leaving a powerful Syrian state. He was only 36 years old. He would be replaced by the Prince of Antioch by a knight named Roger, while a certain Jocelyn, who had been exiled by Baldwin of Edessa, became the Prince of Galilee. Only Baldwin, King of Jerusalem, remained, but in 1117, two lunar eclipses occurred, followed by the sighting of the Aurora Borealis. To the medieval world, this signaled disaster, and within a year, seven of the world leaders died, including the Byzantine Emperor Alexius Comnenus, Pope Pascal, and King Baldwin. Baldwin II was King Baldwin's nephew. He had become the Prince of Edessa and was rising to prominence as a just ruler. He would be the last king to have fought in the First Crusade. In terms of character, Baldwin II was more devout and chivalrous than his namesake, but he was still a rigorous politician. He had accused Jocelyn of treason and exiled him from Edessa, yet it was Jocelyn who recommended him to succeed Baldwin. This irony can only be explained by Jocelyn's conscience, for he had once secretly desired to inherit Baldwin's estates. When Baldwin had learned of this, he tested Jocelyn by feigning serious illness. Jocelyn betrayed his intentions when he grew so excited at the prospect of Baldwin's death. He asked the prince, "How do you fare?" To which Baldwin replied, "Better than you think." Then he leapt from the bed and imprisoned Jocelyn for a short time. Jocelyn apparently learned his lesson and became one of Baldwin's best allies. Baldwin II, in return, made amends with Jocelyn and awarded him the old fief of Edessa. With the royal throne of Jerusalem, Baldwin II inherited his nephew's problems. Palestine was still plagued by rogue Muslim Turks who held out in a number of cities. The Crusaders held most of the major cities of Palestine, but Tyre and Ashkelon still eluded them. That same year, Gerard, the head monk of the Hospitaller order, died. He was replaced by Raymond de la Pue, who was distressed that the road to Jerusalem was so treacherous and dangerous. He helped turn the Hospitallers into a military order of knights, later called the Knights of St. John, whose job was not only to provide places of rest and entertainment, but also to safely escort pilgrims to Jerusalem. There was sort of a police force who was accountable solely to the Pope and not any king, duke, or count. At the same time, the Knights Templars became the second military order founded by Hugh of Payen. He spent much of his time recruiting European members for the order. These military orders differed from regular knights, not only in the way they solely accounted to the Pope, but also that they took a vow of poverty. At least the Templars early on did. They were truly armed monks, not mercenaries. Part of the tragedy of the First Crusade was the fact that so many of the soldiers had been mercenaries with no code of honor. They came to pillage and plunder. The military orders did none of this. They were seen to be friends of the common man, while regular armies were often distrusted. Together, these military orders served as a police force and helped and assisted the King of Jerusalem in many ways, though they were not directly under his sovereignty. Baldwin II was more than pleased to have help. Indeed, the Templar Knights would soon rise to become the most famous and mysterious knights of history. As a religious order, they were armed monks who vowed no human warmth. They were not even allowed to hug their own mothers. Privacy was not permitted. Each member belonged to the other members. They founded their headquarters on the spot where they believed Solomon's Temple had rested, hence the name, and they had later developed rituals which put them in conflict with the papacy. For the time being, they were the Pope's warriors. They had no allegiance to Baldwin directly, other than that they served the same cause. Because they became the elite warriors of Palestine and developed an intricate spy system, the Templar power would one day rise to such heights that even popes would fear them. In 1119, a massive Islamic army of Turkomans moved towards Antioch. Its leader was the vile emir named Igazi. He would promise safe passage to those who surrendered, only to slaughter them. His army was also made up of rogues and mercenaries that made the atrocities of the First Crusade, for which they had been so harshly judged, look harmless. When Roger heard of the army, he sent word to Baldwin, but he preferred not to allow Agazi to besiege Antioch before Baldwin II could arrive, so he rode out to meet him at what was called the Field of Blood. Agazi's army routed Roger's army. Roger was lucky after he fell in battle, but most prisoners who survived were paraded back to Agazi's home city, only to be tortured to death for the people's enjoyment. While Agazi was reveling in his victory over Roger, Baldwin II had time to arrive and secure Antioch, which had been left basically undefended. The arrogant revelry of Agazi cost him his prize. Baldwin II and Agazi met in another battle in which both sides claimed victory. Agazi had secured more prisoners, which he brought before his people for the usual entertainment of torture and death. But Baldwin II had ensured that Antioch was not taken, and Agazi would never again make another attack on the fortress. Now, with Roger dead, Bohemond II was the rightful heir to Antioch, but he was only 10 years old, so the Patriarch of Antioch served as regent in his place. In 1122, and again in the months later in 1123, disaster struck. In two separate incidents, the Muslims captured Jocelyn and King Baldwin II himself. An ambush had taken two prominent knights of the realm, and they were imprisoned in the emir's castle. But Jocelyn had many friends in the countryside, and when the emir's army was out attacking a city, about 50 men entered the castle in disguise as merchants and monks. They then seized the castle with relative ease, inasmuch as the garrison was away on a raid. There were too few of them to expect to make their escape all the way to Christian lands. So Joscelin agreed to slip behind the lines and go get help, but Baldwin II chose to stay with his friends in the castle. Unfortunately, Joscelin arrived too late. The emir returned and executed everyone but Baldwin II, who was just too important to kill. Joscelin's army itself was defeated, and the latest Patriarch of Jerusalem, Gormond, acted as regent of the kingdom until Baldwin could return. Not long after this, the emir died, and his son desired a ransom of Baldwin II for a profit. A huge sum was paid, and Baldwin was released. He returned to Jerusalem, where the people cheerfully accepted him back. In his absence, Gormond had managed to capture the city of Tyre. Well, that was, of course, with Venetian help in 1124. The kingdom of Jerusalem was slowly reaching its height of power by the time of Henry V's death. So as you can see, Jerusalem is a mess, the Holy Land is a mess, and everybody's just tearing each other apart. So it kind of sounds like Europe with between the Holy Roman Emperor and the popes. Now the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.